welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that is weird but helpful.
Just like it's helpful.
Us in real life. I'm Carrie Jones. I'm an internationally best-selling novelist and reporter, and now a podcaster. And with me, as always, is my husband, Sean Kelly Farrar. What are you, Shawnee?
A man with three names, apparently.
And that means you're going to be a murderer soon, probably.
Oh, that's right.
But every podcast, we do a random thought, and then we give you a little life help, maybe.
Usually based on a dog's advice.
And then a dog tip, right. And it's all meant to be good happiness, man.
Just fun.
So chill back, relax, and maybe you'll learn something.
Or maybe you'll laugh.
Or maybe even both. Hey!
God damn.
It is random thought time.
And you're raring to be random.
And I'm raring up to be random. Our first random thought, and possibly our only random thought, comes from Shepherd Express. And its headline is...
Is that a Christian newspaper or something?
You know, it's probably like the far right or the far left, but I didn't...
Shepherd Express?
Yeah, it does sound like a Jehovah's Witness thing, doesn't it?
It sounds like a rare, fast train that hauls sheep. Although sheep are not shepherds, but...
Oh, no.
It has the shepherds with the sheep. That's why
I honestly did not look up to see the site's bias. I apologize. Anyways.
Oh, I don't care about
On the Shepherd Express, it says the easily offended. Are you ready for the weird news?
I am.
A resident of Trail in British Columbia called police on September 8th to complain of a man wearing camo pants, which he believed to be a violation of some rule, the Toronto Sun reported. The caller, 27, said he was, quote, offended on behalf of the military. Sorry.
Because the man's wearing camouflage pants?
Imitation is a divine form of flattery, random man in Toronto. Anyways, and he British Columbia. And he requested that an officer find the man and remove his pants.
Nice.
This doesn't sound like Jehovah's Witnesses.
He just wanted to see his willy.
It doesn't sound like Jehovah's Witnesses. Anyways, when the officer said he could not do that, the caller said he would remove the man's pants himself under the order of the King of England. The loyal Royal Canadian Mounted Police didn't look for the camouflage wearer, presumably to warn him about the caller. But surprise, they couldn't find him.
Because his camo was working so good.
You gotta wait until I tell the joke before you laugh, man.
Oh. Really? Did that happen?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Sean.
That guy was crazy.
That's amazing. It's so funny. It's amazing. Anyways, yeah. Recently, today, on our personal Bar Harbor police scanner, someone called the Popo because they saw a man standing outside in the early morning hours with something that looked like a rifle, and it was right by this picturesque stone barn that everyone takes photos of, be they professional photographers, people taking pictures of girls and boys doing their senior photos, wedding parties, engagement photos, are just people who are visiting Acadia National Park, right? So this caller who lives here called and told the police department, there's a man there with a rifle. So the police department went, and it was a man with a tripod. And the camera was mounted on the tripod, pointed at the vacant stone barn, taking photos. And it's just amazing to me how people are so...
They're super hyper-vigilant.
Yeah, man. Are you feeling hyper-vigilant today?
Not right this moment. No.
All right, we're going to talk about cool shit.
Cool. Ooh, oh, we are?
I swore. Yeah. Hold on.
Okay.
So, on our last podcast and post, over on what are our shit things called?
What are you talking about?
Our websites. What are our websites? websites. Carrie Jones Books.blog and Living Happy on Substack. Jeez. Worst marketer ever.
And that from our president of marketing.
That's so embarrassing. If you're listening to this podcast for the first time, I'm so sorry. I'm just not like in the right space right now.
You're in space right now.
I am in space right now. Okay, so on our last podcast and post, we talked about character misbelief, which is basically what the character in your story believes that isn't real or true. And the big component of this is that your character believes that this big lie about life or about themselves because of something that happened to them in their past. Something traumatic.
Yeah. I remember that.
Sean doesn't remember his own childhood, but he remembers that.
I remember doing this last week. That's what I'm saying.
Anyways, the thing
that has nothing to do with my childhood.
But you don't remember your childhood. So we don't know what your defining misbelief about your life is because, like, what it stems from because you don't remember your childhood.
I remember bits and pieces.
He's a doppelganger. Are you a doppelganger?
Of whom?
I don't know.
Sean Why would Farrar. That make me not remember my life?
Because you don't remember before you went into the body and took it over.
Well, you better hope I'm not because then that means you're married to just a stand-in.
That's all right. All right, it's
I'm not married to Burt Reynolds, but I am married to his stunt double.
Yeah. All right, anyway, that's really cool. Okay, anyways, that would be a good story. The thing is that whatever hurt them in the past, right, causes them to have this big untruth that dictates their lives. And this, in writing terminology, is often called the wound.
Which, that's not the only thing called the wound.
I don't know what you're thinking. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. But it's a lot of lingo, right? So we have a false belief, which is also a big lie. We have a wound thing.
A wound.
Which is a thing that
it's just, this whole character is just a wound with legs.
I am a wound with legs. So the cool thing is that you can use these false beliefs to make a better story, right? And we talked about those false beliefs in our last podcast, but it could be that they aren't lovable or that they're unworthy or that might always makes right. Those are examples really quickly, right? So the wound makes this false belief a logical thing for them to think about, even though it's super wrong. And the big trick, if you're a writer, is that you want to show this to the reader rather than tell them. You can't just write, Carrie cried because she was unlovable because she knew that Stephen Sills told her so at the seventh grade dance, like that CCD dance.
That motherfucker was wrong.
He hurt me. Anyways, and you also can't, and you also can't just write, which is also really telling and kind of awkward. I'm only doing this, Carrie said, because of what Stephen Sills told me at that seventh grade dance. Like, that's also really obvious and telling, right? You want to show these beliefs rather than tell them. Instead, you want to show the reader how the main character reacts to something because of their false belief. Like, what are you laughing about?
Nothing. I swear to God, I'm feeling salty about
it. You're just laughing? You're just sitting there laughing?
Well, you couldn't give me... I maybe for $100 million I would just repeat what I was laughing at, but no.
Were you thinking mean thoughts about?
Oh no. Not at all.
About Stephen Sills.
It was a joke.
Oh,
it was Stephen Sills.
You know what he said? He said, let's face it, Carrie, neither of us are lookers, so we might as well make do with each other.
Dude, that is how you pick up women, right?
Not
there.
Me. Not
That's
me.
That's how you do it.
That's how I say, I hate you, you mofo, and I'm going to go cry in the bathroom until until your mom gets me out.
Did he ever get any better at picking up chicks?
I don't know. He got married. His wife's pretty cute, honestly. Yeah. Anyways, I'm sure he's a great human grown-up now, but as a seventh-grade boy dancing at the CCD class, dance in Bedford, New Hampshire at the Catholic Church, it didn't work.
What was CCD?
I don't know because I'm not Catholic.
That's almost like Southern Rock.
Catholic, man. Christian, Catholic, children's. I don't know, but all the Catholic kids got to go there like every Wednesday, and I thought it was super cool, and I wanted to be Catholic too. So you pretended you were Catholic? No, I just went to the dance. Oh. Anyone could go to the dance.
Oh, I see.
But like, I wanted to go to CCD classes and be Catholic. I also wanted to go.
You
wanted
to drink the wine, eat the body of Christ.
I also wanted to go to temple and be Jewish, and I also went to Presbyterian. The only people who I went to Baptist church, I went to temple, I went to Catholic church.
Oh, you never went, to Pentecostal.
No, hell to the no. I went to Presbyterian church, and I ended up mostly Presbyterian in my youth. I was like, I taught Sunday school. I'm so sorry to all those children.
How old were you?
High school. I was in high school.
You were teaching Sunday school? High school? That's cool. I bet you were a great Sunday school.
I don't really remember. And I was also in the choir. Also, anyways, it was a lovely white church. It was picturesque. Anyways.
So you were like, let me tell you about the Savior, kids.
No, that's not
what we... His name's
Bono. We're so off topic.
I know. We're only like an eighth of the way through this thing, aren't we?
I probably did make them sing you two songs now that I think about it. I was also in the choir. I don't know how they let me in the choir. They must have needed some warm bodies.
Oh, you're a good singer, baby.
No, I'm
and a good warm
I'm
body.
Really bad at church music. Anyways, white people church music. White Presbyterian people church music. I'm really in Methodist. And congregational. I'm
Holy
really not.
Holy smokes, what were we talking about? All
right. So, anyways.
I don't know how you got off on religion. Like
so, anyways, you want to show the false beliefs in your character on the page rather than just tell them because you want, and you want to show the reader by how the main character reacts to something because of their false belief. So, like for me in the seventh grade, I'm just riffing here. When Stephen Sills said that, sorry, Stephen Sills, you'll never hear this, but when he said that, my whole rest of my life, no matter how many times people are like, oh, you're a cutie, you're just adorable, you're so pretty, oh, baby, you're so sexy, right, when they're trying to get in your pants, like, I always just think, I look like Don Knotts. I'm not a little.
Oh, my God.
So
we,
I might
we
as well.
We just had this discussion
so
last night.
I might
you
as well
do not look too. Like Don Knotts.
And that,
but we have a friend who does.
But my point is that when he said that, it instilled a false belief in me, a minor one, because it hasn't really impacted my life, that has rippled. Now, if I'm writing that on the page, I don't want me to just say it like I just said it. I need to show it and how it impacts the character, right?
I'll tell you how it impacts character. She's like, I look like Don Knotts. Let me pull up pictures of Don Knotts on my phone. See, I look just like this one. What?
I don't even know. So anyways, in the world of the story, it's all about the character's mind tricking them into lies. And that's called a cognitive distortion in real life. Ooh, fancy, right?
I think I suffered from that.
There's a great post by Jamie Gold that talks about 15 ways to show false beliefs in our characters. And honestly, all these ways are so much like real life that it kind of hurts. And she talks a lot in that post about Michael Hogg, who talks a lot about this and is kind of like the guru of false belief in novels. Ready?
Holy crap, I don't know.
We're going to summarize these.
Let's roll, baby.
Because
Let's
we
go.
Ended up talking way too long about Stephen Sills. But here's a quick summary. Ready?
Yeah.
15 ways to show false belief. They're not exclusive. Blah, blah, blah. Ready?
Filtering. Did you want me to read it?
All right. Well, first let me say, if a character believes something about themselves, X, like they're unlovable, they react in one of the more of the following ways on your story, right? So one.
Filtering.
That's magnifying the negative and ignoring the positive. They dwell on the plot events that prove their belief right, and they'll gloss over those that prove them wrong. We have a daughter who does this. Two.
Shh. I wasn't going to say anything until the end when I had a total count.
Two.
Polarized thinking.
That's when you see things only in black or white or in polarities. They deem any attempt to overcome the flaw a failure if it doesn't turn out perfectly. Three.
Overgeneralization.
Basing conclusions on a single piece of evidence. We see a lot of this in town politics.
Yeah, we do.
Where you pick out a single word, act, or event to reinforce your belief. 4.
Jumping to conclusions.
That's when Sean assumes other people's feelings or motivations.
I'm always right.
And they usually assume others' actions are driven by their own flaw.
See? That's true.
Next.
Catastrophizing.
That's when you expect disaster to strike, and I do this all the time. So they worry that a minor mistake due to their flaw will cause great tragedy. Because I am not cute, everyone will hate me, and I will end up alone. Personalization. What's that, babe?
That's you, baby. Taking everything as a direct reaction to them.
I also do this.
They'll see themselves and their flaw as the cause for everything others do or say.
Then...
control phallics. I mean fallacies.
You're like, ooh, fallacies,
yeah.
Fallacies with an F. That's when they see themselves as a victim. So they'll either think fate forces them to be a victim of their flaw, or they'll make themselves into victims by accepting the blame for everything because of their flaw. Next.
Fallacy of fairness.
And that's judging life by?
Fairness.
So?
They'll expect things to turn out positively to make up for the pain. Quote, life inflicted with their wound.
Then next we have...
blaming.
And that's when you're just blaming everybody else for your troubles. So your character will think others are responsible for the pain of their wound. And next?
Shoulds. Prioritizing rules. They'll set up rules for how to deal with situations caused by their belief and feel guilty when they violate those rules.
And then...
emotional reasoning.
So that's when you believe that your feelings are automatically true. I am sad, so therefore everything sucks. So they trust their feelings about their belief above all other evidence. So like for me, it would be like, I am ugly. And Sean can say, you're pretty. Or somebody could be like, can you be on this soap opera? Or like all these other things that could happen in my life. And I'll still be like, no, I'm too ugly.
Yeah.
Then
fallacy of change.
And so that's when you expect others to change, which is our marriage. So you expect others to change to accommodate their belief. Like, so your character thinks everybody else will accommodate their belief that might equals right, or that they're ugly, and they think that their happiness depends on everybody else believing that and meaning that goal. Next.
Global labeling.
What's that?
That's extreme and emotional mislabeling. They'll exaggerate and overgeneralize their flaw to the point of creating unhealthy emotions.
Mm. And then...
always being right.
That's Shawnee's issue.
Oh, I don't know about that.
He's saying I'm wrong because he's always wrong.
No. So it's more like a pot calling the kettle black situation.
That's not true.
Yeah,
so being right is their most important trait. So they'll argue and... digging their damn heels about their belief with the insistence that they're right no matter the cost.
Including to others' emotions.
And finally...
OMG.
And finally, the last one is...
heaven's reward fallacy.
Ooh la la, that sounds so sexy. It sounds like something at a strip club.
Yeah, it does. Expecting actions to pay off.
So that means
they'll expect life to reward their sacrifice in the name of their in the name of their belief,
wow.
Not disbelief.
Yeah. So like that's so much, right?
That's a lot of
poopadapa
issues.
Yeah.
Of those are all, what do you call them? Misbeliefs and generalizations.
Cognitive distortions, but in the world of your
authoring,
story,
it's
just like the. The false belief, the big
false
lie,
belief, right.
The thing that their wound created that propels the plot forward that they have to overcome in order to grow and develop, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
in every Hallmark Christmas movie, it's, oh, I am perfectly satisfied with having a life as an entrepreneur. And then they meet some asshole from home who's like, oh no, you're not. And then they give everything up because they're not perfectly satisfied with their life as an entrepreneur. And they're meant to just be poor and live a home alone with this man.
With this man?
The widow.
The Hallmark movie.
The widow. Right? Yeah. And with his two cute kids who are adorable. And like, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, man.
Door tip for life.
We don't have one.
What?
You have a dog tip?
Our dog, Pogie's big it's not a dog tip, but we can make one. Her big disbelief is that she's a badass.
She's the worst badass.
She weighs like 45 pounds.
That's big. She's a big girl.
Her legs are like 3 foot tall.
She's like a gommy, awkward supermodel who wouldn't be hot in actual school, but you put all the makeup on her, right, and then you're like, ooh.
Yeah, with super long legs.
She's all like bones, high heels too, jutting out, and all legs, and like really big eyes that don't quite fit her face.
And she's super skinny.
You know, somebody on my Facebook, I made a comment about her being like Odie, and they're like, she doesn't look like Odie. Why does everyone have to disagree with everything you say?
I don't know.
It's like, it's my dog.
Well, yeah, she's not yellow with brown ears. I mean, but
she's not a cartoon.
She's not a cartoon either.
But she's shaped.
But she sure does like to play with the cats.
And she's totally shaped like Odie, and she has the energy and personality of Odie. Like,
yep. I don't know why people got disagreeable.
Anyways, the dog tip for life is sometimes you believe you're a badass, and then someone on Facebook will tell you that you're not.
That's right.
And blow them off.
But you don't listen to them.
Because it's Facebook, and you don't really know them in real life, right? Like, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Believe you're a badass. Sometimes those misbeliefs help.
You think so? Give me an example.
Well, I knew a girl in grade school and high school who said the Sting song Roxanne about a prostitute was about her.
Yeah.
Because that was her name. And then she also said she was a beauty queen, and she truly believed that she was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think that only helped her in life.
Does he end up being a hooker?
I do not know.
Roxanne!
You don't have to put on the red light. Do it.
Roxanne!
You don't have to sell your body to the night.
You just roll up to that street corner and yell out her name like that?
Yeah, we'd pretty much did, honestly. What? Poor kid.
Oh, okay.
But anyways.
On your bicycles, I was talking about the Johns and the cars.
Oh my god, no, sometimes your disbeliefs can make you powerful. You know, like all those self-help gurus are like, believe you're happy, and then you'll be happy. Fake it till you make it, man. Like,
yeah.
So like maybe sometimes a disbelief can be helpful. That's if it's right. A positive disbelief, right?
Yeah, I tell myself I'm happy all the time. Normally I am.
I feel like that was a dig.
Oh, no,
I feel like that was such a dig.
No, I was actually going to make an alcohol or drug joke out of it, but I really just lost it about halfway in.
We're not on drugs, really.
No, but I was going to just make a joke about daddy's little helper kind of thing, you know?
Did you help your dad sell drugs?
No!
Oh.
No, that daddy's little helper is the alcohol. The shot of alcohol or...
Oh, the whatever. Puff off the blunt.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
It's like mama's little helper.
Mine.
Huh?
Wine.
Yeah.
I get it now. I'm so slow. Is that a misbelief about my character? Who knows?
All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You know.
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new
amazing creepy podcast is Dude No. It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast,
Loving the Strange,
which we stream live
on Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. The end. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah, we can too.